Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, September 5th, 2019. We have about 10 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, north winds 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20, just under that threshold for a small craft advisory. But I'm sure that from what mariners have always told me that I've interviewed, when you're out on the ocean, things, the weather's always a little more intense than the forecast says, depending on how far offshore you go. So it could be windy out there for people who are working on recreating out on the water today. Wind waves from the north, 3 feet high at 5 seconds apart, and northwest swells, 5 feet high at 12 seconds apart. And today we're going to be talking about a facility in Clatskanie, the Port Westward facility there, who are seeking a permit to transport crude oil out of Clatskanie. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. We have 2 inbounders, 4 in our Astoria anchorages, and 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. The New London Eagle is our first arrival in the river today, arriving from China. She's headed for Astoria's anchorage and probably arrived there or will arrive there around 11 a.m. To wait in the anchorage. The Saga Odyssey is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's headed for Vancouver, Washington, and she could have steel or lumber on board, or could be picking that up. I'm not quite clear there. But 10 p.m., probably passing Astoria, that would put her past in Vancouver by about 4 a.m. on Friday. In our Astoria anchorage, we have the Sunisa Nari. She's headed for the port of Portland to pick up potash, leaving around 10 a.m. That would put her in Portland maybe around 4 p.m. The Belle Pere is headed for Kalama to pick up wheat. She's leaving around 1. That would put her in Kalama about 6 p.m. And the Daria Moti and the Bulk Polaris are both awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage. So slowly, those ships that have been sitting there, and there have been quite a few of them, are clearing out as one by one they head upriver individually to go to berths. And sometimes the berths are full with other ships. They have to wait their turn. Sometimes they're undergoing inspections. A lot of things have to happen when a ship comes into from a foreign port into the United States. There's Coast Guard inspections. There's ship's agents and other people have to go on board. Safety inspections, things like that. So it can take time. So those ships that are sitting out in the anchorage, they may look idle, but there's a lot going on board to get them ready to head upriver. And our outbounders, the articulated tug and barge rig, the Sound Reliance, is leaving Portland. She has refined petroleum on board, probably gasoline, biofuel, something, biodiesel, something like that, or jet fuel. She's heading out about 3 p.m. That would put her past Astoria, maybe about 9 or 10 p.m. The Sea Hope is leaving the port of Portland with potash on board, maybe at about noontime, so she could pass Astoria around 6 p.m. The Gotland is leaving Longview with logs on board around 3 p.m., so maybe 6:30 or so, passing Astoria outbound. And the Interlink Tenacity is leaving Vancouver from a break bulk berth, I believe. So she could have come in with some kind of project cargo or heavy bales, pieces of equipment, something like things that have to be lifted one at a time off the ship is generally a loose definition of what break bulk cargo is, as opposed to just regular bulk cargo, which is like, using a big blower to blow wheat into a cargo hold or something that has to be scooped in and out of a cargo hold, like a potash, wheat, corn, things like that, that are loaded in mass bulk. So 3 p.m., the Interlink Tenacity is on the schedule to leave to head out downriver and out to sea. We might see her around 9 p.m. outbound. Well, let's talk about crude oil possibly on the river. This is a story about ethanol facility at Clatskanie, Port Westward. This is a story from the Northwest News Network that I thought I'd share with you. This is Monica Samayoa reporting. Let's hear this. Well, it looks like I'm having trouble with that audio, so let me just read it to you. An ethanol facility along the Columbia River is one step closer to receiving approval to use the same equipment from its renewable energy operation to transport crude oil. Now, in general, just to elaborate a little bit, petroleum is carried on the Columbia often, but it's usually refined petroleum, as I said, gasoline, jet fuel, biodiesel, things like that. This is relating to crude oil. Now, in the past, I have learned that there was some crude oil being shipped out of the Columbia in articulated tug and barge rigs. That somewhat limited its domestic cargo. It goes from one U.S. port to another. I don't know all the details about whether this is going overseas. It doesn't say it in any of the information that I could find, so I'll have to find out more about that when I can and let you know. But let me just read the story to you. In late August, the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality issued an air quality permit to Global Partners, which has also applied to renew a second permit to transport oil train shipments along the Columbia River. Global Partners says in its permit application that it will use the same equipment that makes ethanol to transport the oil. Columbia Riverkeeper's Dan Sears says transporting crude oil along the river will increase pollution. They're asking for permission to use the same equipment to transload crude oil. That would involve bringing in trains of this toxic flammable oil all the way down the Columbia River, moving it into tanks and then moving it onto ships. A DEQ official says the agency determines whether to issue a permit based on the application information it receives and will look into issuing Global Partners a separate permit later this year. So that is about an effort to ship crude out of the Columbia. So, I mean, it does make a difference whether it's going overseas or whether it's going to domestic ports. I think one of the issues overall with things like this is that once you get west of Longview, the infrastructure to handle big, heavy industrial cargoes just really isn't there. That's why, there is one rail line. That's one of the reasons why the Port of Astoria doesn't have the same kind of massive cargo handling that you see in Portland and Vancouver and even Longview. Because there's really no rail line here. There's no big, interstate system to handle trucks. And so that kind of shipping is limited here when you get, as I said, west of Longview on the river. So all these projects require a lot of permitting and applications and approvals along the way. This is one step further toward that. And from what I understand, if I'm correct, there was some crude oil being shipped, as I said earlier, out of the Columbia on articulated tug and barge rigs, which are usually going from one U.S. port to another. They're Jones Act, as it's called, shipments where the cargo originates in a U.S. port and then goes to another U.S. port, which means under current law that the ship has to be registered in the United States. So these are not foreign flag vessels, at least in that case. So it's interesting. It would be interesting to find out. I'll see what I can find about what the destination for this stuff would be and whether it's transporting this over. I think it's tar sand, heavy tar sands oil. It's referred to in an article that I found in the Oregon Public Broadcasting bitumen. It would handle diluted bitumen, a form of heavy tar sands oil. So that would be the source of that. So I will keep you posted as I can find more about this, but that's another proposal that is in the works for the Columbia River. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.